This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Sunday's NFL game between the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders was no contest. The Patriots dominated, as God intended. Instead, the real drama was on the sidelines beforehand. The game was held in Mexico City, and Raiders player Marshawn Lynch stood for the Mexican national anthem, but then sat down for our own, the Star-Spangled Banner. The president noticed this. He tweeted, quote, Marshawn Lynch of the NFL's Oakland Raiders stands the Mexican national anthem and sits down to booze for our national anthem. Great disrespect. Next time the NFL should suspend him for the remainder of the season, attendance and ratings way down. Anthony Tall is a lawyer and sports agent, and he joins us tonight. So I just want to stipulate that, I think all of this behavior is allowed under the First Amendment. So I don't think there's any debate over whether it's protected as speech. Of course it is. The debate is over how grotesque it is. And I don't understand why Marshawn Lynch is under the impression that Mexico is a more virtuous country than his own. Where would he get that idea?
Well, I think that you need to go and ask yourself, why would a rich athlete feel as if another country is better than him? And it goes back to what LeBron James said. LeBron James said, being black in America is hard. It doesn't matter how much money you have, right, who you are, how much fame you have. So I think Marshawn Lynch is evidence of that. So you also have to ask yourself, what would drive someone, a multi-million-dollar athlete, to stand during the Mexican national anthem and not want to stand on his own? This isn't something that he just comes up with. Where does that
right.
come from?
It's just,
and
well,
I'm going to say that it comes from a lot of statistics. Go ahead.
What it doesn't come from is a deep knowledge of Mexico. I mean, if you're doing that to the Swiss anthem, okay, we could debate it. Or the French anthem, we could debate it. But have you seen the people who run Mexico? Is there a country in the world with a firmer color bar than Mexico? I don't think there is. Is there a country with a more grotesque history of slavery than Mexico? How do Afro-Mexicans do? Do you have any idea? Does Marshawn Lynch have any idea? I mean, let's be real here. You'd rather be black in America than Mexico any day of the week.
I think Marshawn Lynch and a lot of black people might differ with you. They might say
really?
It's worse being in America than being in Mexico.
Oh,
you know,
really?
A lot
why
of
would
these
they say
that?
Why
travel,
would they
yeah, a
say
lot
that?
Of these athletes. A lot of these athletes that travel around the world, they get treated a lot better in their perspective than they do here in America. That's
so,
why they say that.
I don't think Marshawn
We're not
Lynch.
Talking about Afro.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're not talking about
talking Afro. About, let's just be real, okay? Barack Obama could not have been elected president of Mexico. They have major race problems in Mexico, and we pretend that Mexico is this sort of unified Hispanic country. That's not reality, and anyone who says that knows nothing about Mexico. I'm not attacking Mexico. That's just true. So I guess I wonder, like, does he know anything about Mexico? And by the way, how badly is Marshawn Lynch treated when he goes to dinner? Do people yell at him at dinner? I mean, can we just be real for a second? This is ridiculous.
You know, I appreciate what Tucker Carlson does when he brings ideologues on his show like this and exposes them. And when I say this, I don't mean this in any kind of condescending manner. You know, I would hope that the sports agent would be a little bit more educated and could articulate this position. This is the problem that the NFL has had from day one. It's like they need a specialist to come in to help them, you know, get their story straight, so that they really understand what it is that they're trying to accomplish. But this is what happens when you get this knee-jerk reaction and people think, well, because I've got some notoriety, I'm going to speak out. But when it comes across and it does more harm than good, then it's, why waste the asset? Why waste the resource here? And the sports agent is just in line with the rest of them. I don't see how he's helping the cause, helping Marshawn Lynch or any other black athlete to this cause, including, I would dare say, the one and only preeminent basketball player on the planet that you would hope would be able to articulate something a little bit better. But as you can clearly see, he is not Michael Jordan.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We're reminding you, for more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. And thank you for joining us, whether it's on any one of the 280 affiliates we have around this country, Shortwave, Red State, Talk Radio, the Cable Radio Digital Network. Welcome. Good to have you here sharing a part of your day with us as we continue to talk about those things that matter in your life, pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. You know, how do you feel about, you know, what is happening here? I got to tell you, it's disheartening. I'm thinking, okay, look, let's do something. I think that Marshawn Lynch, I really believe this. I don't think it. I believe it. Whether it's Marshawn or Colin Kaepernick, really want to do something effectively about the racial issue in our country. I mean, this has been a long-fought battle. But it seems like we continue to do the same old thing and expect different results here. Well, I want to bring Bishop Counsel Ned, who joins us right now. I want to bring him in on this part of this discussion. And we're going to be talking about why churches are starting to look at their security in their places of worship, and rightfully so. Archbishop Counsel Ned is a founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network and Pennsylvania State Constable. Bishop Ned, good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, good to have you always. Happy Thanksgiving to you right off the bat here, okay? Let's get the important salutations, because I love this time of year, because it sets us up to, you know, for a moment to get outside of ourselves and to think about the many things that we can be thankful for, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's fortuitous that we're talking today, the week of Thanksgiving. There are lots of things that lots of people should be thankful for across this great land. Mm-hmm. And glad to be spending some time with you.
Exactly. Well, we were talking as we were connecting here about what happened in Mexico with Marshawn Lynch and, you know, the angst and, you know, the heartbreak. And I will leave it at that as best I can describe it, because I'm not in their hearts. I'm trying to be empathetic to their cause. You know, whether it's Marshawn Lynch, Colin Kaepernick, the NFL, many others, and blacks of all persuasion that feel that they've gotten a poor shake here and they're not very thankful for America. But I would say that for all that the NFL players are putting on the line, the brand, their own reputation, I think that they could do a better job at getting their message across, and maybe they need some counsel here and how to do that so that they can put out a unified message of what they're trying to accomplish, instead of, you know, with the emotion, knowing that they're upset, that they're not even sure. I mean, you know, here you got Marshawn Lynch going to Mexico, and he has really, obviously, a little clue of how he would be so poorly served. If he thinks it's bad in America, he has no idea what it's like in Mexico. with its clear delineation and racial divide there, but yet he wants to disrespect the American flag and then stand up for the Mexican anthem? I mean, it's a non sequitur.
Well, yeah, it really is. But it's really interesting in telling sort of what we've sort of come to in this country. You know, the fact that, you know, he thinks that's okay, you know, to stand up for other flags and not support his own nation, which provided him the opportunity to go do that and stand up for the Mexican flag in the first place. But, you know, it's just sort of interesting what we've become now. You know, society sort of devolved. American culture is not what it used to be. And, you know, there are lots of places to lay the blame for this. You know, I guess maybe because it's the week of Thanksgiving, I won't do that. But, you know, I think people need to sort of sit down and sort of solidly reassess what's important to them and
exactly.
Think about the blessings that they have in this life, how they got them, and then how they're going to show their gratitude going forward.
Well, and let's address the issue. I think that, you know, frankly, Bishop Ned, that many people thought in voting the first black president that we would begin to heal this country of this racial divide that we have. And I mean, from my perspective, I see some improvement. I know many others would say, Bill, you're absolutely blind. You're missing it. And that might be the case. But I, you know, to a lot of black Americans that I speak with and we have a reasonable conversation, they remain hopeful and they see in their lives compared to their fathers and grandfathers how much better it has become for them. And I believe that more than ever, we're at a point almost like that. I keep using that example of somebody who's drowning that, you know, America has been drowning for so long in this issue that a lot of the fight is out of them. And maybe they're ready. Maybe they're ready for a lifeguard, so to speak, to come in and kind of bring the parts together to where we can truly be the United States of America. But if we do this, then in order to facilitate this, we have to make sure that the words we speak, and as you say, our hearts and our target is moving in the right direction, that we are moving toward unity and not disparity.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I'm probably no different than you in that, you know, I didn't vote for President Obama, but yes, I thought that maybe there'd be some sort of, you know, new era of something under President Obama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we saw was the exact opposite. You know, we saw a guy who came in and literally pitted one group against another group against another group for the entire 8 years of his presidency. And so we're seeing the fruit of that right now.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's not going to be, it's not the kind of mess that can be cleaned up immediately. It's not the mess, kind of mess that's going to be cleaned up overnight. And, you know, that's what President Trump walked into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you know, it took 8 years for Obama to get us where we are now, and it's not going to happen overnight. But,
exactly.
You know, it is true that, you know, President Trump does have a public relations problem in that, you know, no matter what he does, good or bad, it's all going to be painted with the same brush. And, you know, that's the hurdle they're going to have to overcome. And, you know, I think they're doing a slightly better job of getting their message out. And people are actually starting to realize some of the accomplishments that President Trump's made. But, you know, that's what he's up against.
Well, there's nothing like success. I tell my kids all the time that's the best form of revenge, if you can say that. And I don't mean it in a harsh sort of way, revenge. I'm just talking about in terms of, you know, I told you so. And, you know, for you and for me, not voting for Barack Obama, but understanding this is what the people wanted to do, then you pray and hope that we're able to realize that he could have been, you know, like his hero Abraham Lincoln, the, you know, one of the best presidents that we could talk about. But unfortunately, it didn't kind of work out that way. I didn't vote for Barack Obama, not because he was black. I didn't believe in what he was trying to sell. And it came out to be, after everything was said and done and experiencing 4 years, that his continual move toward progressivism, his takeover of a national health care system that was bathed in one lie after another, has us in this mess. It's all been part and parcel to the mess that we're in, a mess that President Trump realized after the first week in the Oval Office when he came out into the garden and says, wow, this is really, really a mess. And the look on his face spoke volumes, I got to tell you. Archbishop Council Ned is with us, and I promise we're going to be talking about, what churches need to do to protect their security with, the continual outbreaks and attacks on what some would perceive as soft targets. More right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com. We'll never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun. You'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, JP Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive.
Hey!
Whoa!
What?
Whoa!
But it's Thanksgiving. Wow.
Why are we even here?
Shh. Shall we say grace? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings on this family. We thank you for bringing us a new friend. And we ask that you look after us on this holiday season, that we may never forget how very fortunate we are. Amen.
Amen.
Bill Martinez, live.
It is a season of thankfulness right here on Bill Martinez Live. Welcome back 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Just to wrap up what we were talking about with Archbishop Council Ned, a friend and listener texts to me. He says, I believe it's time to take an inventory of opportunities for black Americans compared to every other country in the world. How many millionaires? How many actors? How many media stars? How many athletes? How many college graduates? How many executives, how many professionals, how many employed, how many middle class, how many police, how many firefighters, first responders, and so on and so on. Time to stop bleeding victims and start counting the blessings. Amen. Bishop Council Ned is with us, and we want to talk about something that he has written about in light of the Sutherland Springs Church massacre. Bishop... this has been regarded. I mean, we hear strategists talk about churches being soft targets. And there are some churches that have responded to the environment, said, look, we've got to be a smart thing. I mean, it's biblical that churches protect themselves. And in fact, a good friend and fellow broadcaster, Carl Gallups, who is a former law enforcement officer, I believe has written one of the best books, and I recommend it to all churches who are thinking about going this way, what they have done over the years. They're way beyond the learning curve of this, and he's documented it in one of his books. And it's quite powerful in things that they have been implementing in their church there in Upper West Florida. At Hickory Hammock Church, it is something that they realized a long time ago, and that's because of his experience as a decorated law officer.
Yeah, we live in a decidedly different world than what most of us are used to and what most of us grew up in. The fact of the matter is that people don't regard sacred space in the same way that they once did, and as a law enforcement officer, I carry a gun just about everywhere I go. But I hadn't been carrying mine to church on Sunday just because I had a visceral sort of reaction to it. But, in light of the most recent shooting, I've decided to change that policy. And, it dawned on me that, I just have done church security and done security assessments for churches in my role as a law enforcement officer. But it dawned on me after the Sutherland Springs shooting that I hadn't done it for my own church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's sort of one of the first things I decided to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is people don't value sacred space. They don't view anything as sacred anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the world we live in, and that's the world we have to deal with now. And, for most churches across America, unlike a lot of the mega churches, they can't afford to have armed security and unarmed security and metal detection and those sorts of things. It's literally cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, and I was going to mention, but, it is biblical to protect the church, to protect the sacred space, to protect the temple. That's just the world that we live in, and those are the sad facts we have to deal with.
Yeah, as the shepherd of the flock, God is real clear as to your responsibility in protecting. And, of course, time and again, we read through the Bible, from God himself, the examples of the good shepherd.
Exactly. And that's the model that, that I'm clinging to as a bishop, as an overseer, as the shepherd of the pasture. I mean, the job of the shepherd, the job of the overseer is to protect the sheep from the wolves.
Mm.
And, that's why bishops carry croziers. But we live in a modern world now, and, there are other things that we need. There's some things that we need to face now, and we need to deal with accordingly and appropriately.
Yeah, and as you say, and I think that General John Kelly mentioned this, that, we hold to very few sacred spaces, as you point out. And the church being one of those, no longer are churches immune and just protected by virtue of tradition. These bad players and people that want to wreak havoc, they want to do it at their own will. And, you know, have the guns and be in the, you know, these safe gun, alleged safe gun zones, but at what expense? At the expense of, you know, the people that are there. I mean, I'm in Florida, and there was a local movie house, and I shared the story with our audience a while ago, that, you know, thought that they needed to put up signs that this was a gun-free zone. Well, Florida is a concealed carry state. Well, that impugns my, you know, my right to carry. Not to mention, right. More importantly, as I went to the manager, I said, did you realize what you just done? You've put everybody in this building at risk with those stupid signs. And he goes, right. Well, you know, corporate, it's a corporate policy. Well, I tell you, you need to let corporate know that we're against that corporate. That's a bad policy, and you need to take those signs down. But I didn't tell him, but, you know, in right. my own heart, I am not going to, just because he's got a sign, that's not my authority. I'm not accepting
right.
You know, I'm
yeah,
not.
That might be their corporate policy, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have to advertise. Here, we're vulnerable. Please attack us.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot here. Yeah, why not? I mean, that's ridiculous. And not to mention that I hope your corporate policy can withstand scrutiny in a lawsuit because you've put everybody at risk, and God forbid something would happen here.
Precisely.
Well. So, unfortunately, as you say, this is the culture, this is the world we live in, and we need to be vigilant about it. We need to be educated about the laws, what's available to us, and exercise said rights in a way that is for the good of all concerned, and we protect people who come to worship God and can do so with liberty and safety. And, you know, and it is up to the leadership of the church to set the standard, right?
Precisely. You know, again, as the bishop, and as the rector of the parish, you know, that responsibility falls, you know, completely on my shoulders, mm-hmm. In my opinion. And all pastors, they have that obligation to make sure their flock are protected and safe, and that they can worship in safe space without fear of, you know, the violators coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bishop Ned, you also make available, you know, I referred to Carl Gallup's book, but you've also, as a police officer yourself, you have vetted and you have helped other, you know, churches secure their property and their perimeter. And your story sounds like the story of the cobbler who makes sure everybody in the village has shoes, but his own kids are running around barefooted. So you're
exactly.
Going, hey, it's time to get shoes on my kids here. So this has been an excellent exercise for you. And with your experience and what you're sharing, and you're making your research available, and how can churches of like mind and that are realizing, look, at maybe I need to up my game a little bit, how can they be in contact with you and get their hands on your research and your recommendations?
Oh, sure. Well, the best way to follow me is on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is at Bishop Ned, N-E-D-D,
mm-hmm.
B-I-S-H-O-P-N-E-D-D. Follow me there. Send me a direct message. I'll get back to people as quickly as I can.
Okay, and then you can forward the information to them, and of course we'll remind everybody, and this will be linked on our website as well, so in case they didn't get a chance to write that down. But again, remind them again. We'll do that one more time, if you would, Bishop.
Yeah, so people can follow me on Twitter at Bishop Ned. Everything's spelled out. And again, follow me, send me a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Or you can also follow me at project21.org.
Well, as we mentioned, the environment of our culture is such that it is becoming and has become very anti-religious. And people, this puts the church in the crosshairs, and we need to be vigilant and protect. And this is the alarm that you are sounding as a watchman here, Bishop, right?
Precisely. You know, the wolves, the bad guys, whomever, they're outside the door, and they're waiting for an opportunity to come in and do damage, wreak havoc, and harm people.
Exactly.
And it's time for... you know, people to do something. Don't make the church such a soft target.
Exactly. Bishop Council Ned, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bishop.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
This is going to take long.
You got the time.
Mine's worth money. Yours isn't.
Send in a bill.
I asked you a question.
You're here to answer them, not ask them.
Now, you listen to me. If I pay your salary...
All right, sit down. I'm going
to
earn it.
You already have the kind of money you make. What do they pay you to carry that? 40 cents an hour?
You sit down.
Bill Martinez, live.
Joe Friday. Giving it to him. Just give me the facts. That's all I want to hear. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Oh, just the memories, you know. And, of course, you hear stuff like that, and you realize that I remember it, and you go, okay, how old is this guy, really? I'm a boomer, okay, so it's all good. And because I am a boomer, you know, I'm also mindful of, you know, heart risk. And that's what we're going to talk about is, you know, bad cholesterol and being at risk for heart attack, stroke, and death. Although significant in medical progress has been made over the last few decades, heart disease remains the number one cause of death in the U.S., and deaths from heart disease are rising, reversing a decades-long downward trend. I know you're saying, hey, what's going on? People whose LDL, the bad cholesterol, is well-controlled, but also have other risk factors that remain in serious danger. Now, if you think you're not at risk of heart disease just because your bad cholesterol is well controlled, well, you're going to want to listen to our next guest. Dr. Peter Tote is with us to talk about public health burden of heart disease and the need to manage it more effectively. Dr. Peter Tote, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Tote is the Director of Preventive Cardiology at CGH Medical Center, so he knows from which he talks. And so, and also we're going to talk about a new study presented at the American Heart Association meeting that identified high triglycerides as a heart disease risk. So, Peter Tote, what does this study mean for our listeners?
Bill, are you there?
Yeah, okay. I lost you there for a second. Yeah, now we hear. Can you hear me now? Yes, we can hear you now. All right.
Sure.
Okay. So did you hear the question okay?
No, but I think I know what it was. So let me just describe this very quickly.
Okay.
We asked a very simple question, Bill. If you take a population of patients, 22,000 in total, who have very well-controlled bad or LDL cholesterol, and they're already on a statin drug, which is the standard of care worldwide for managing bad cholesterol, but you then split the group between patients who have high triglycerides, say over 200, and those who have normal triglycerides less than 150, what is their risk for sustaining cardiovascular events like heart attack, stroke, and getting stented?
Mm-hmm.
And the results are actually pretty startling because over just 3.5 years of follow-up, for the patients whose triglycerides were high, their heart attack risk was 35% higher.
Wow.
The risk of a stroke was 27% higher. But this one really grabs people's attention. The risk of revascularization via stent or getting split open like a watermelon for a bypass, 51% higher.
Wow.
Now, if you talk to someone who's had a bypass, they will tell you in no uncertain terms it's not an experience they want to repeat.
Yeah.
So I think these are pretty startling results.
Well, so are you saying that what these new studies are indicating is that we were looking at the wrong indicator?
Oh, no.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that even when your bad cholesterol is well controlled, some of the what we call residual risk, meaning risk never goes to zero,
mm-hmm.
some of that residual risk is attributable to the triglycerides. We know that some risk is attributable to blood pressure, to blood sugar, to smoking, to being overweight. But definitely some of this risk is due to high triglycerides.
Well, because you're the doctor and we're having a little bit more time than we could have sometimes in an office visit, help us understand the relationship between the bad cholesterol and triglycerides. How do they come together? And it would seem in my very, very anemic understanding here is that there is some balancing act between the bad cholesterol and triglycerides. Am I reading that correctly?
You are. The balancing act would be making sure that both the bad cholesterol and the triglycerides are reduced to appropriate levels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is different depending upon your level of risk for heart disease. That's just the way guidelines are structured.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is that the better your bad cholesterol is reduced and the better your triglycerides are reduced, there are indications that there is complementary action there and that you provide better risk reduction overall. Now, are they interlinked? And the answer is yes, because the bad cholesterol can actually carry some of these triglycerides, so they are interlinked. But I think the easiest way to make this understandable is that even when your bad cholesterol is well controlled, if your triglycerides are still high, you really need to engage in some pretty aggressive lifestyle modification because something is still wrong. Your metabolism is still deranged in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So what can give you high triglycerides? Well, if you're diabetic, mm-hmm. or if you're pre-diabetic, pre-diabetes can cause an elevation in triglycerides. If you're consuming too much alcohol, if your diet is comprised of too much saturated fat, or that ugly fat, trans fat, that can raise it. So being overweight, diet, even smoking can raise your triglycerides, because smoking can make even a very thin person pre-diabetic because of its impact on fat stores and blood vessels. So this is a little bit of a complicated situation, but in my practice, first-line therapy for this is truly engaging in very aggressive lifestyle modification. Stop smoking, exercise, lose weight, and make sure that the diet is composed of better types of fat like monounsaturated or polyunsaturated fats.
All those things that we know we should be doing, it's now we're confronted with it and we've got a decision to make. It's not like what you're sharing with people is some new revolation. They probably know, look at you, I'm overweight, I've been too sedentary. And they probably have been telling themselves they needed to do something about it, but now they've got the diagnosis or the prognosis that they're going down the wrong road, and it's quick, and it's not going to be enjoyable.
That's correct. And so people do have a decision to make. Now, for people who just can't do it, of course there's medication.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal preference is to help make sure that people can do it through willpower and through changes in their lifestyle. But if they can't, and a lot of people truly can't, mm-hmm. then, of course, there are medications available to us.
Well, my understanding, Dr. Toad, is whenever we can engage the natural defenses of the body to build itself up, like a muscle, you know, it's that part of that body that's gotten dormant. If we can exercise that, and that's always goes a long way. Yes, if you have some medication that can help, because we need to get over that hump to get us down that road, you know, that's very helpful. But my experience has been, and my understanding has been, that when the body is allowed to solve and heal itself, so to speak, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm going along with what you're saying. I hope that's coming across. That, you know, by exercise, proper diet, these kind of things that we know that are good for us to do, that it actually strengthens the body and probably adds years to our lives, doesn't it?
Yes, Bill, you hit the bullseye, because every time you flex a muscle and you engage in sustained exercise, you're burning triglycerides, you're burning sugar. And yes, this is the optimal approach, because we also know that for people who exercise regularly, it does extend life. They do live longer.
Right.
Studies have shown this.
And I think one of the things, you know, that's important here, because my dad, who since passed away, had a triple bypass. And what I was encouraging him to do as he was recovering, I said, look, you're not going to be running. He was an athlete all his life. And sometimes that works against you, because you think, okay, I can go running or I can do a marathon. And I'm saying, let's get the blood circulating. Let's just, you know, it's a process. Let's just start walking. Let's just walk. If half a block is all you can do, hey, let's accept half a block, you know, and let's start walking, get moving. I imagine that's pretty much some of the process here, that you don't want people, when you talk about lifting weights, we're not talking about turning them into muscle heads in the gym overnight.
No, absolutely not. It's a step-by-step process. And what's important is conditioning the muscle. What's important is maintaining muscle tone and not allowing some muscle atrophy or wasting away the muscle, because it's very difficult to reestablish. But everything you said, I agree with.
Well, Dr. Toad, I'll tell you, good stuff here. I appreciate what you've shared with our audience. We got 5 seconds. Where can they go for more information?
American Heart Association website. So it's just heart.org. It's par excellence. Nothing beats it.
The studio that brought you Miracles from Heaven and Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs comes the star.
Whoa. I think a new star just appeared. That star means something.
For the first time ever, the fully animated story of the first Christmas told through a whole new set of eyes. Bo the donkey and his animal friends follow the star.
That light, that's the star. This is where it's been leading me.
Joseph, I can't go any further.
I'm sorry. There's no room.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Meet the unlikely heroes behind the greatest story ever told.
Try praying. God, I don't really know how this works, or if you listen to prayers from donkeys, but I've seen Mary do this many times.
Experience the family event of the holiday season.
We've come to honor the new king.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
Do you guys like frankincense? I never know what to get.
The Star, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets and showtimes, go to thestarmovie.com.
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Shouldn't you know, why not have it be a great day, okay? If, as much as it's up to me and you. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 14 minutes before the top of the hour. We're going to be talking with Pastor Tim Keller, who's going to be joining us. I've been using his book on Psalms as a devotional in the past year. And, of course, he gave me something new all over again. And we're going to be talking about the wisdom of Proverbs. And he joins us right now, pastor and author Timothy Keller. Well known for his best-selling books and devotionals, as well as founding Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, which Christianity Today called one of Manhattan's most vital congregations. Pastor Keller, good to have you back with us. Always good to be talking with you. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great today. Thank you.
Hey, how are you doing through the transition? I know earlier this year, you and Kathy decided that it was time for another phase in the Keller life.
Yes, we divided Redeemer into three churches that meet at three locations. Each has their own senior pastor, their own elder board, their own staff. I stepped out. I'm no longer the senior pastor of any of those churches, nor am I the preacher. But each of the churches has agreed over the next few years to each start three new churches. Three new churches. That's great. Another nine churches. And I'm around to help train all those new leaders. So I'm still serving them, but I'm no longer the big cheese.
Well, but you're still all that in a bag of chips, but just in a different sort of way, on a different shelf.
Yeah.
I know that. And your heart in terms of, you know, spreading the message and, you know, reaching out and church planning, you know, for you and Kathy now to be able to do this and to see the leadership step up, you know, leadership that you have trained along the way. This has to just be exceedingly rewarding for you.
It's also a little bit like, I am like a parent, as it were, with your kids who are now are on their own. And so you worry about them, but you're also extremely proud of them. And so that's exactly how it is.
Well, and it's pretty ambitious to be able to say, okay, we're going to, you know, go to three separate entities, and every entity is charged with, establishing and founding, you know, three more churches themselves. This is what this is all about, isn't it?
It is. I mean, ultimately, that's exactly we should always be extending and spreading and not holding on. In other words, we're not supposed to hold all of our people, our money, you know, into our comfortable zones. We're supposed to be giving them away and sending them out. But that's how God multiplies the kingdom, is through our sacrifices.
Without a doubt. Well, you know, I find it quite interesting in contrast, and I've shared this with several, you know, men in several different Bible study groups, is that if they had something, you know, like a stock tip to offer, or some big deal that they got on a car or something, they wouldn't be reticent whatsoever to speak out about it, right? I mean, they love sharing good news. And so here it is, the good news of redemption. Sometimes I wonder if the reason that we do not share it and we hold back is because maybe we just don't realize the full benefit of what Jesus has given us in redeeming us.
Well, there's only two, that's one of them. There's only two possible reasons why we don't speak out. The one is we actually don't realize, like you said, the value that we have. I mean, we don't realize how absolutely glorious it is. The other is that we're afraid. You know, we're afraid of being shunned or being thought ill of, and that's cowardly. But it's one or the other. It's either not realizing the greatness of what you have, or just being afraid to suffer a bit for His name.
Well, Tim, don't you find it quite interesting, you know, because you bring up a good point in this politically correct environment in which we live in. Gallup just did a poll last year, and I thought something that came out quite clear and surprisingly was secular America was saying, hey, where are the Christians? You know, we need their guidance. You know, well, you told them to shut up and not to say anything. And so they heeded your words and got out of the public square and the discussion of important issues that we're dealing with today. And now you're saying, hey, come back. You know, we've driven the bus into the ditch and we need somebody who knows how to drive this thing.
Yes, actually, it goes all the way back. In the 1970s, a man named John Rawls, who was a professor at Harvard, wrote a couple of books in which he basically said, in the public square, in the public discourse, people should not bring religious views because they're too controversial. So you shouldn't be bringing religious views into the public square. So it was theorized at a very high level, and that became the way the culture began to say, oh, yes, that's divisive. Now, what's funny, of course, is that when you actually have people out there in the public square, anything you say is divisive, whether it's religious
exactly.
or not. Or even the idea that religion should be kept out of the public square, that's divisive. You know, it's kind of ironic when you say, well, I don't want you to give me your religious views because people are going to get angry if you bring in your religious views, but people are going to get angry if you say that you can't bring your religious views in. So I'm hoping in the future there will be a consensus that everybody, as long as they speak respectfully and show concern for the public good, should be able to speak out of whatever their belief system is. But right now, I think there's a lot of fear and anger, and I don't know. I don't know. But I hope that's where we go.
I'm with you. I sense a little bit like, you know, they tell lifeguards when somebody's drowning, don't go in and save them right away. You got to let them fight themselves out. And I think our society is doing a little bit of that. It's fighting itself out to where I find it not, it's not that it's easy, but it's easier, getting easier, because people are realizing after they've done it their way, you know, for so long, that it's just not quite working out. I mean, look what's happening, you know, in cultural bookmarks like the NFL, and you've got Hollywood unwinding, its brand deteriorating. All these things that have had, you know, traditionally incredible impact on our culture are all coming to question now.
I hope so. I mean, I think that way on my optimistic days. So
I'm right with you.
I do see signs of hope. I see a lot of signs of hope, but of course, they're not. It's not sure. It's not certain. I mean, I'm a Christian minister. So Jesus says, the gates of hell won't prevail against the church that I'm founding, and therefore, I never feel like the church will ever go away, or that it'll but on the other hand, I mean, it can be a long time in the wilderness, and I'm hoping that it won't be.
Well, and he does say that the gates of heaven suffer violence, the righteous take it by storm. So we have a responsibility here, and in order to warrior up, you've blessed us with a you know, a follow-up to your study and a devotional on the book of Psalms, which, you know, I thank you and Kathy every day. I mean, this has just been a mainstay, and it came at the perfect time when you introduced the book. I said, you know, I was looking for a devotional, and this was exactly, you know, what the doctor ordered. You know, thank you, God, for the book of Psalms and your inspiration. And now you're giving us talk about turning the tables upside down, God's wisdom for navigating life, a year of daily devotions in the book of Proverbs.
Yes. Now, Kathy's concern, by the way, is if you like the book of Psalms, you might think the book of Proverbs is exactly the same. It's not. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is an overstatement, okay, but Psalms is more about feelings and about emotions and about how do you deal with your anxiety and your anger and your disappointment. I mean, Psalms is incredibly great for helping you figure out how do I process these strong feelings toward God. But Proverbs is more about thinking. It is actually more about saying you need to think out more the implications of what of the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule for every area of life. So she thinks, I mean, she's right, we need both, but there will be some people who like the feeling, they like the Psalms, and when they get the Proverbs, they're going to say, well, this is too intellectual. And there's other people who are going to like the Proverbs, and they're going to get to the Psalms, and they're going to say, this is too much about emotions and feeling. But we actually need both, because actually God put them both in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I look at it, Tim, was that, you know, Psalms gives us that, you know, that vertical relationship with God, and Proverbs brings us down to earth and to deal with the horizontal. Is that fair?
Yeah. Again, as I just said, that's an oversimplification, because obviously the Psalms does talk about the horizontal, and Proverbs has always got the vertical in mind. It's always, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
So my relationship with God, but in general, you're right. It's absolutely more about how do you live life on this plane, and Psalms is much more about how do I relate to God in this, yes.
So why the book of Proverbs? Was it just a natural follow-up?
It's partly a natural follow-up. I'll tell you this, though. I've always found it hard to read the book of Proverbs chapter by chapter. They go by too quick. You notice, when you read most books of the Bible, when you read a chapter, you're usually reading one or two subjects, right? But when you read the book of Proverbs, like read chapter 10 or read chapter 11 of Proverbs, there'll be 25 to 35 verses there, and it's on 15 or 16 different subjects.
Exactly.
Because each proverb talks about a different subject. Then you go to the next chapter, and there's another 15 or 16 subjects, and you don't have they go by too quickly to really think about each of them. And I've always found that the traditional way of just reading Proverbs through chapter by chapter, it doesn't give you the time to really digest. What Kathy and I did in this book is we put them together topically. So for a week or two, you'll have all the Proverbs on marriage, or then for another week or two, all the Proverbs on how do you deal with fights and conflicts. And so that's the idea, is that I think it'll help you digest it better. That's why the book.
Well, what a great Christmas gift. I want to thank you again. You know, Psalms was such a blessing for me, and I'm looking forward to the devotional of the book of Proverbs that you and Kathy have put together. So this is on my devotional list for 2018. All the best for the holiday season. Have a Merry Christmas, you and Kathy, and all the best to the new team as they continue to expand and realize the vision that you have for Redeemer there, Tim Keller. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, too.
You take care. God bless.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars. and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Action.